Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from Luke 14, today's Holy Gospel. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. This is God's word. When I was in first grade, there was a girl in our class who was a little Pharisee. She drove me nuts. Remember one instance, I'll give you an example of her Pharisee behavior. She sat in front of me, always telling me what I was doing wrong, how I should be doing things differently. I remember at one instance, she was turned around talking to me, and I pointed to something on my paper, and I so happened to be using my middle finger to point. And I didn't have it vertical in the air, but it was clearly my middle finger with which I was pointing. And this little Pharisee turns around and goes, "Teacher, teacher, Matt used a bad finger." And there were other such instances that left me confused because I was trying to do the right thing. I was a good kid. I didn't flip the bird in first grade. I didn't do things like that. Nonetheless, Pharisees abound. Now, I should qualify this with that girl, that six-year-old Pharisee, by the time we were in high school and even today, is one of the nicest, sweetest people you could ever meet. But she was a Pharisee back then and made things difficult for me. She called into question how I thought things ought to be done. And it's hard when rules are unclear. What we're going through right now, I don't know anymore what we're supposed to do with this pandemic. Friday afternoon, the governor says, "UP, we're moving you back to phase 4 of reopening from phase 5. And then later that afternoon, the Michigan Supreme Court says the governor does not have authority to make emergency declarations. And then the governor says her orders do still have the force of law. And it's all just confusing. What is the practice? It's unclear, and especially for us as churches, it's been very difficult to figure how to operate safely, but still be doing what we do. In order to avoid confusion, that's why the Pharisees existed. They were the gatekeepers of the rules and the keeping of the law of Moses. Now, you need to know that we often think of Pharisees as these biblical bad guys. Jesus is the good guy. The Pharisees don't like him, so they're bad guys. It's not quite that simple. They are regularly at odds with Jesus, but they were the religious heroes of their day. Every Jew wanted to be like a Pharisee. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells those gathered, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And the people are left wondering then, who then can be saved? If you have to be more righteous than a Pharisee to get into heaven, that must mean no one can get into heaven. The Pharisees, though, had developed over the years around this system of traditions and rules that sort of went against the grain of how those laws were meant to be followed in the first place. Take, for example, the Sabbath. God had commanded Israel back in Exodus 20 when he gave the Ten Commandments. He said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. The Lord God made the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, the day of rest, very, very important. We read in Numbers 15 an account where a man is caught gathering sticks on the Sabbath day outside the camp. Do you know how Israel responded to the man gathering sticks on the Sabbath? They stoned him to death. The Lord took the Sabbath seriously. And the Pharisees did too, which is why there were all these traditions and rules around what you could and could not do on the Sabbath day. Because they did take it seriously. But here's the thing. In all their rules that they had created around the Sabbath, they lost the point of why the Sabbath existed. Why did God give his people the Sabbath day? Why did God take it seriously so that a man was put to death for picking up sticks on the Sabbath day? It was for this reason. The Sabbath is about mercy. Whereas all these rules had sprung up around the keeping of the Sabbath, God's rule is the mercy rule. That is what God does. He shows mercy. You might be saying, no, sure didn't show mercy to the guy caught picking up sticks. Well, that guy despised the mercy that God had commanded his people to observe and receive. And when you're apart from the mercy of God, there is indeed only death. Jesus says in Mark chapter 2, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God gave Israel the Sabbath day of rest because he desired to gift them with his mercy, to pour out his love and his blessings upon them. So when a man is sick on the Sabbath day, Jesus shows these Pharisees with all their rules and all their traditions and everything they had created around the Sabbath, if there's no mercy, you've lost why the Sabbath even exists. God's rule is mercy. That you show mercy to one another and to all whom you meet, but that you first and foremost receive mercy from your God who loves you and wants to pour out his mercy upon you. In the Old Testament book of Hosea, chapter 6, the Lord says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings, more than the efforts you make, the tithes you give, the good works that you do. What God wants from you is mercy, undeserved love towards others. And so that you would know what that looks like, he shows mercy to you. King David in Psalm 51 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. What God wants you to bring to him is your sin, your guilt, your shame. All these things that deserve death, hell, damnation, eternal fire and suffering. God would have mercy on you, O sinner. God would show you mercy and take your guilt, your shame, your sin, and place it on the cross of Christ our Lord. Sabbath was all about mercy. God gifting his people with a love, a care, a compassion that they did not deserve. And that's what the Sabbath still is today. God's rule of mercy for you. Martin Luther describes the Sabbath day in this way. Under the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Luther says, what does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Why are we to not despise preaching in the word of God, but gladly hear and learn it? It's because these things are where God gives us mercy. It's where he forgives sins, where he gives life, where he delivers salvation. And dear friends in Christ, those things are yours here and now. Forgiveness is yours. Life is yours. Salvation from the devil and all his attacks is yours, because God has had mercy. And that is what he delivers to you, week in and week out, day in and day out. You have a merciful God who takes all of your sin, guilt, and shame and puts it on Jesus Christ. The Sabbath gives rest to those who are weary. We're in a weary world, dear friends in Christ. There are so many opportunities for mercy to be shown. Yes, through things like LWML and missionaries and church workers and stuff, but for you to show mercy. Prophet Micah writes that we are to act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Children of God who have been shown mercy are to deliver mercy. That can be hard because so much of the world seems so unlovable, so hard to have compassion toward. That's why you cannot show mercy to others without first being shown it yourself. St. Paul reflects this wonderfully in his epistles. He has a phrase he uses especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when he talks about the Lord's Supper, chapter 15 when he talks about the resurrection of the dead. He introduces it by saying this: for I delivered to you what I first received. And then he'll go on to say, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Paul could deliver the words of the Lord's Supper to the Corinthians because he had first received it. Paul could deliver the word of the resurrection of the dead to the Corinthians because he first received that word. You can't show mercy without mercy being shown to you. Your God is merciful. And he shows you mercy in the Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the one whose blood takes away the sin of the world. Your merciful Lord forgives you and invites you to find your rest in his mercy rule.
Our God delights to forgive you, to tell you you are His, to let you know that eternal life is yours. Now take that mercy and share it. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.